It is said that there are more statues in America of this lady than any other. Quite an accomplishment, considering she probably never thought of herself as an American. Yet I'm sure you've heard her name. The story is next on this edition of The American Countryside.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Why do some small towns thrive while others decline? What influences young people to live and work in some communities but not in others? How can local citizens work together to make a positive difference in their community? Andrew McCrae's latest book is here, The Total Town Makeover. Get your copy today at AmericanCountryside.com. Just click on Books at the top of the page. You'll find all of Andrew's books there, books like American Countryside, The Man Who Was President for a Day, and God's Perfect View. They're based on Andrew's radio broadcasts and are perfect for you and make great gifts. Log on today at AmericanCountryside.com.
When Lewis and Clark spent the winter of 1804-05 at Fort Mandan near present-day Bismarck, North Dakota, they met a young lady who would prove important to their journey west.
There's a lot of mystery and a lot of historical argument, if you will, about the life of Sacagawea. But what we do know, because it's detailed so well in the journals, is that she was living here among the Hidatsa when Lewis and Clark arrived and was perhaps 15 or 16 years old at the time of the expedition.
David Borlaug says that in November of 1804, Sacagawea's husband, Toussaint Charbonneau, came to Fort Mandan and offered his services to Lewis and Clark as an interpreter and guide. Sacagawea performed many important tasks in guiding the group. By the end of the journey, Lewis and Clark realized that Charbonneau's wife may have been more valuable to the journey than most others on the expedition.
Charbonneau is who was hired. He was who got paid. But as William Clark wrote at the end of the expedition, it was a tragedy that they could not pay Sacagawea for all the services that she rendered. Clearly, she was viewed as an integral, valuable part of the expedition.
Lewis and Clark traveled back to St. Louis in 1806, and Sacagawea, her husband, and child remained where they had begun their trip.
Sacagawea remained with her Hidatsa family, with the clan that she was raised here in North Dakota. She had the option. She could have stayed with the Shoshone, but no, she came back with her husband to North Dakota to the villages here. Jean Baptiste was raised in St. Louis by William Clark and grew up to be a very famous mountain man outfitter.
Sacagawea is believed to have died at about the age of 25. Her husband continued to serve as a guide and interpreter for others in the region. Traveling the countryside at Fort Mandan, North Dakota, I'm Andrew McRae.